Good morning, everybody. How are you all today? Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above today. And, you know, what's interesting to me is yesterday I meant to do this, right, where we read about the earth or the sun or whatever gate or gene key is popping up in our field. And we got so into a different type of discussion yesterday that I totally forgot to do that. So today we will definitely read about the gate 53, which is the gate of expansion. And if you notice the title of the show today, I put down intuitive shapeshifting. It's funny because I sit here in the morning and I'm like, okay, I write down all the information that I want to share. And I end up with a page that looks, you know, sort of like this with all this stuff on it. But then I got to think of a title because in Facebook, it asks me for a title. So every day I've got to sit and go, okay, what is it we're really talking about since we jump from, you know, many different things. So today, intuitive shapeshifting came to mind as that is one of the words that we're using to describe sort of the changes that are occurring in the field right now as we're shapeshifting from one reality to another. So that's the title today, intuitive shapeshifting. It's not any good to just shapeshift if you don't really know what it is that you want to shapeshift into. So that is kind of what we're going to be talking about today. So good morning. I see everybody checking in here. Good morning, Debbie and Marissa and Mimi and Linda. Great to see you. And anybody else out there who's going to pop in say hello, let us know how you're doing this morning. It is kind of a creepy day again. We've had so much rain and so many clouds, and now they're going to say snow in the next week. So we're having some fun up here in the Pacific Northwest, and hopefully wherever you guys are, you're safe and sound and warm and dry. Or in the case of Australia, some rain would really do some good for you guys, I think. So we start our day today with the moon in Gemini all day long until we get to early, early in the morning, tomorrow morning, where it shifts out of Gemini and into Cancer in preparation then for the full moon on Friday at 20 degrees of Cancer. So today the moon turns into the void at 2:16 p.m. Pacific time. So that'll be 5:16 p.m. for you on the East Coast. Just as your day, your work day perhaps is buttoning up, the moon will turn into the void, making for a cozy evening at home, maybe just snuggled up in a blanket, drinking some tea, reading a book, watching a good show on TV. And then in the morning when you wake up, the moon will have shifted signs. Now this morning, while the moon is still in Gemini, we have it in a square to the planet Neptune, and we have it in a trine to Venus. Now I know some of you are new out there, so even though it may be repeat for most of you, let's talk a little bit about what that means. When we have a square, we're talking about relationships between the planets in signs. So we're talking about a square between the moon in Gemini and then Neptune in Pisces. Those two make a square, which is a 90-degree angle. And that 90-degree angle creates a relationship between the two that's a little bit, well, maybe could be a lot challenging, as Gemini is very communicative and kind of flirty energy, and Piscean energy is going deeper and is often less mind-oriented and more creative or more spiritual-oriented. So today we may be having a little bit of an argument between our logical mind and our spiritual imagination or our more intuitive minds. Now, typically, a square can be very challenging and presents us with obstacles or things that we have to get over or get around in order to move forward. But when we're talking the moon and Neptune, they're really cut from the same cloth. They're very much in tune with what is going on in the spiritual realm or from the soul level. So it may not be as difficult as a square might at first sound like. Now, the moon in Gemini is also trining Venus, which is now in Aquarius, fellow air sign to Gemini. Gemini. So a trine is a 120 degree angle, which ends up putting planets in trine to one another in the same element. So the element here is air. So we're talking about the mind, we're talking about ideas and inspiration, and we're loving that sharing of those kinds of things, inspiring words, maybe even uplifting one another in some way. But in some way today with Venus and the moon in a trine, we have a nice flow of loving sort of energy moving through the background of the day. So I like that. Now, also today, this isn't about the moon, the planet Mercury, which rules our mind and communication, and is also the ruler now of the moon's placement in Gemini, comes into a sextile with Neptune as well. So we have Gemini energy ruled by Mercury. We have Neptune energy ruled by Pisces, or ruling Pisces. And then we have Mercury in a sextile to Neptune, as well as the moon in Gemini, Mercury's territory, squaring Neptune. So we sort of had this theme going on today between the mind and spirit. So spirit and the mind, and we can talk about how the different ways are that this can manifest. A sextile, by the way, for those of you who are new, is a 60-degree relationship between the planets. So Mercury, who is right now lining up with the sun in Capricorn, is in a sextile with Neptune in the sign of Pisces. So they're working well together. They're sharing their gifts and their talents. The gift of Mercury is communication and the great use of the mind. And Neptune is all about unconditional love and the spiritual realm, intuition. So if we look at those two together today, what we have is an ability to create relaxation. Although that isn't going to happen in my day, but maybe later I can imbibe in relaxation. Creativity, spiritual pursuits. This would be a great day to sit down. I have a book sitting on my dining room table that I'm hoping that today I might, or tonight even, I might even get to pick up and read a little bit about it. It's a very spiritual book, and hopefully that's what you have as well, either a spiritual book to read, a spiritual practice that you want to lean into. Today, technical no, spiritual yes, right? Today is a very imaginative, creative sort of day, but not so much the technical, logical side of things, even though Mercury's involved. But Mercury here is involved with the planet Neptune, and that kind of blurs the lines and makes logic not so easy to come by. But it does make for creativity and high intuition and even daydreaming sort of energies to come alive during the day. This is also compassionate, healing energy that soothes with words or soothes with compassion, where we feel for one another. And in that case, then, you know, if you have a friend or a family member who's suffering from something, today's a very easy day to be able to come into their level and be able to, you know, surround them with love or with healing energy. Also, Mercury and Neptune, when they come together, often make for vivid dreams or nights of vivid dreams, but also the ability to tap in during the day, even into daydreaming energy. Have you ever just been sort of tapped out, or tapped in? I guess you would say you're really more tapped in when you're maybe just sitting and you just sort of are staring off into the distance. Road hypnosis, have you ever had that? Where, you know, somehow just these great ideas or inspiring thoughts are coming in. That's also a possibility for today with Mercury and Neptune together. It's a great day for meditation, for any kind of psychic pursuits. If you're, you know, doing readings today, it's a great day for that. It's a great day for healers. And there's also the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day, which is about healing. So today's a great healing day. Now, this is also a day where we want to tap into knowingness. We want to trust that inner voice. We want to trust what we know, not what we think. So there's a difference. We can draw a parallel, if you will, between knowingness and thinking, but they're not the same, right? They're transiting down the same, you know, they're maybe next door neighbors to one another, but knowingness is different in that it is coming from a place where you don't know how you know what you know, but you know, right? I don't know why I know what I know, but I know. we're thinking is that you've got this thought and you're moving it through your mind, and you may attach knowingness to what you're thinking, but it's not necessarily the truth, where true knowingness is much more intuitive. So we may be able to easily tap into that knowingness today without the incessant garbling going on with the mind. Now, some of you may have difficulties with that still today, as the mind may be in a tug of war with the spirit. So depending on how your own personal chart is set up, will drive whether that is going to show up in a positive way for you or in a more difficult relationship for you today. All right, let's see who else is joining us here. Allison, good morning. Linda Marie, good morning. And Jan Landry, great to see you. Happy New Year to you. Allison says, good morning, everyone. Judy Wheeler, I think you're new, but that's wonderful. Welcome. Susan Glavin, good morning. April, great to see you. Mary, good to see you. Colleen, nice to see you. Monique Alexander says, hello. Judy Wheeler says, yes, I can feel this today. Sarah Chenard, good morning. And Heather Scott, good morning. Londa, good morning. Lovely to see all of you out there this morning. And now let's talk about what the biggest news, as if none of the regular news that we were talking about is big. We also have something I've been watching all week long as it's been building, is that, you know, the planet Jupiter is now in Capricorn. And all throughout 2020, we'll be building up its relationship with Saturn and Pluto and Ceres and Pallas Athena. And right now, he's building up his relationship to the South Node. And the South Node conjunction to Jupiter is very powerful in creating a need for us to clear the past and to let go and surrender all of those things that are no longer working for us. But because the node presents us with an axis, if Jupiter is conjunct the South Node, it is also in an opposition to the North Node. Let me see if I can't point this out to you in a picture. Some of you, I'm sure, are very visual people, visual learners. So let me see if I can help you to visualize this. And of course, that assumes I can draw a straight line. So over here in this chart, now this is a chart of the day. This isn't a personal chart for anybody. This is if today was a person, this is what the chart would look like. This is what their birth chart would look like at the moment I pulled up the chart. So over here, we have the North Node. The North Node represents the dragon's head. It represents destiny. It represents the trajectory that we are moving in collectively. Now, you also personally have a North Node in your chart, and that shows your own personal destiny and your own personal life trajectory. But collectively, right now, we're on a trajectory aiming at Cancer energy, which is much more nurturing, mothering energy, divinely feminine, and extremely concerned about food and clothing and making sure everybody's cared for, but also security oriented. And in some cases, looking for emotional stability. So here's where we are moving collectively. But over here, we have some old stuff with the South Node, which represents karma, which represents the old or the what needs to be released in order for us to move forward into that more Cancer emotional nurturing energy. So Capricorn and Jupiter, Jupiter's in Capricorn conjunct the South Node, which means in order to grow and expand, which is what Jupiter would want from us, we are going to have to surrender something. We are going to have to purge. We're going to have to let go. And the things that we're going to have to purge and let go of are going to be attitudes, beliefs, our material expectations or ambitions that no longer serve us. It's not that you can't be, you know, involved in trying to create material things or spiritual things. It's not that at all. It's that I think we all have a sort of read now on the things that we've been trying to accomplish where we're not accomplishing it, where it's like beating your head up against the wall. And it's time to stop doing that, right? We talked yesterday about psychosis, right? And letting go of that psychosis. Well, here is another big indication that that is exactly what we need to do. If we want to move on, if we want to become enlightened beings on this earthly planet, then we are going to have to purge or let go of some of these things that have been tripping us up, especially for the last few years. One of the big things we could look at is polarization and division and looking at us as separated beings instead of, you know, together. But on a personal level, this is also a call to let go of stinking thinking, right? Where the mind takes you into these conversations that aren't positive or uplifting, and where you may be talking down to yourself or are holding yourself back in some way. Often our self-talk and our self-talk is based in old beliefs about ourselves and about what we can do or not do. So we want to, in this day today, really, really embrace where we could be while simultaneously purging, letting go, surrendering the old and allowing for the new. Remember, the earth this week in human design is at the gate 53, starting things. So what do we want to start? Right? What do we want to start? Remember the question I asked on Monday was, what do you want to be an agent of? We heard an agent of love. We heard an agent of healing. We heard an agent of community. What would you like to be an agent of? And then embrace that. Don't just make it a pie in the sky dream and maybe someday I'll be that. Embrace it and then begin to take the steps toward that. Now, what is really being shown to us is also a collective destiny. So we as humanity also have a destiny that we've been playing with as we move through these transits every day of the week, we're moving through something and it's on a spiral and it's moving us along in the path of our evolution. And even though sometimes it might feel like we've gone backwards or that we've devolved, ultimately we're just swinging back around so that we can embrace the next level of our collective destiny. Now, the collective destiny here is in Cancer. So this is nurturing energy that's caring and compassionate and emotionally balanced, emotionally intelligent. We're aiming for emotional intelligence as opposed to emotional reactivity. And you know what I'm talking about. When in the outer world, you see this tit for tat going on with bombs and wars and battles and things like that, where, you know, we kill your guy, we're going to kill your guys, we're going to go, you know, we bomb you, you bomb us. And where does all of that end, right? Unless we can look at the next steps in a more positive way, right? What would happen if we just said, you know what, we call a halt to all of that. We are just into the forgiveness game. We are into the love game. We are into the nurturing, compassionate, sensitive, mothering energies now. What would happen to the world? What would happen if the United States for once led the pack as a nurturer instead of as a warmonger? Now, in your own personal life, this is also apparent. Where are you fighting a battle against your own self? Where are you undermining your own self? So now we have this opportunity to really embrace the trajectory moving toward caring and compassion, as opposed to holding ourselves into that more military, militant, Capricorn sort of negativity. And now, it's not to say that Cancer doesn't have the negative energy as well. I mean, we could certainly move forward into more security measures, right? The United States as a nation, a Cancer nation, certainly took steps toward more safety and security with the advent of the Homeland Security Department after 9/11, right? Where now you can't even go through an airport without having to take off your shoes and show every type of ID that you have you can't even bring water onto an airplane unless you bought it after you went through security. It's craziness. But that shows you the more negative security-oriented mind that's based in fear, as opposed to what could be more loving and compassionate energy that would be at the other end of Cancer. So we have a lot going on here, kind of behind the scenes. This is territory that both Saturn and Pluto have already been through. So they've already triggered all of this. But now Jupiter comes in with the idea of growth and how do we move forward now? And we are letting go of the last vestiges of the old in order to do that. So I hope that makes sense to everybody. Let's see what else is going on here. Any questions? Judy says, I'm a Sagittarian with two Gemini daughters. I'm a Gemini with a Sagittarian daughter and a granddaughter with the Sagittarian rising. I love Sagittarius energy. And yes, on purging. Brenda, good morning. She says, I've been on the fence about a job, higher position within my agency. I just decided to apply, put it out to the universe, and let the universe decide what should be, will be, right? Definitely. But it all begins, Brenda, with what you want. What do you want, right? If you want to be able to move forward in this job, in this position, into this position, it sounds like it's a new position, but within the same company, and that's what your desire is, then all that you need to do is follow your type and your strategy, and then your authority as well to get there. And I don't remember what type you are. I want to say you're a generator, which means you're responding to what is showing up in your outer world. And then you are holding space for that to show up, right? So that you can embody it. If it is correct for you, you are right in saying if it's correct for you, then it will be. Because the universe never withholds what is truly yours from you. But it all begins with what it is that you want. That was, to me, even when I teach classes on manifesting or on money and abundance, the very most difficult thing isn't creating a path to abundance, isn't manifesting your dreams. It's deciding the what and really claiming it. That's where we are the weakest, because we could have so many different things that it's hard for us sometimes to come down on one thing that we want. And I can go back in my life and the times that I've really wanted something and I've just declared it and I've just said, that's what I want. It's happened. And it's happened for me, for other people as well. When I've told them that that's going to happen for you, it happens, right? If there's something in that declarative way of saying it that makes it so. And it's almost like then there's no brooking any argument about it happening. The only question is when. And that isn't your question, right? That's the universe's question. The universe provides the when. You provide the what. The universe does the how, the when, the where, the how, all of that how stuff that we want to try to figure out isn't our job, but the what is. And to me, that's the hardest part, is coming down on the what. And I think we've all struggled with this over, especially the last, you know, few weeks as we're looking at the new year coming in and what do I want for 2020? And you know, looking at then what happened in 2019 and going, maybe being disappointed or maybe being excited about what you saw that happened for 2019. And then the next thing is, okay, what do I want for 2020? And that's where I started to fall apart. It's like, okay, what do I want for 2020? So that's the hardest part. Once you determine what you want, this job, then you put yourself out there and you've done what you needed to do. And now it becomes the universe's job to create it. Your only job now is to stay open to it, right? To stay open to it and to keep claiming it. And it should happen. Mimi says, for me, I always add if it is for the highest good. That's a great one too. Yeah, that's a great addendum to all of that. Okay, so any questions about Jupiter and the South Node or Jupiter and the North Node? Now, I just want to say that, again, this could be different in your own personal chart as to where your natal destiny is or your natal karma point is. But right now, this is the collective direction that we're headed. And I also want you to remember that it is the placement of the nodes that drives where the eclipses are going to be. And here we are, we're in the shadow of a very powerful lunar eclipse coming up Friday, the same day, by the way, that Uranus turns direct. And it's also the same day that Mercury conjuncts the Sun. So we know that that in any Mercury cycle, that the Sun and Mercury are playing this dance, right? They're going back and forth. Mercury at first conjuncts the Sun, then turns retrograde and goes backwards and then comes back again, conjuncts the Sun again. So there's always this back and forth going on with the cycle of Mercury. So as you might guess, if we have Mercury getting ready to conjunct the Sun, we are also getting ready to entertain another Mercury retrograde. And that won't happen until February, but it's on the horizon, right? It's on the horizon, but Mercury and the Sun coming together in Capricorn at the same time that there is the conjunction with Saturn and Pluto tells us a lot about sort of the marching orders of where we go next. Are we going to march off to war and more of the same? Or are we going to choose a different route? Are we going to choose love? Are we going to choose peace, forgiveness, inclusivity, tolerance? Or are we going to choose what we kept, what we've been choosing, which is more of the war and more of the fighting and more of the division? So it's kind of an interesting place where we are right now. And the reason shape-shifting comes into play here is that at any moment we can shift who we are and or what we want to be like. That's up to us. You know, so shape-shifting here is a part of what we can do within ourselves that then affects the collective. So, and that's also a part of the Pleiadian Earth energy for today, which is for healing. So the energy of four is a universal energy. Healing is the earth energy of the day, which in the Mayan calendar was Ish, which was Jaguar. And or sometimes it was called the shaman or the high priest. It's a very spiritual energy. So we are also, let me just remind you, in the collective shadow period right now in the Pleiadian Earth energy. And we will be there until the 14th, which means through the eclipse, we are in the collective shadow. So what we're seeing is a lot of fear and a lot of the shadow energies that are still prevalent on the planet. And the gate in human design that all of this fear seems to be centered on during the eclipse is on greed and selfishness. Those are the shadows that are happening during this particular time. So if you want to, you could even look at what's happening in the Middle East right now as based in greed, because I bet you if we drew the line between what's happening and money, we would find that it leads to the oil. Right. So there's something more about greed and about coveting resources that's a part of all of this. So these are the things we're being presented with to heal right now. So let's talk about the four energy. The four energy itself is about the foundation. It is about the boundaries that we enact, right? It is about the structure and the form that supports what we build next. So we have to have boundaries, right? Your house has to have a foundation. If it's not, it's going to sink or it's going to tip or, you know, it's not going to be sturdy and it's not going to stand the test of time. It won't be sustainable. So the four energy reminds us that we have to start with something strong. We have to start with a foundation. And then we can also use this energy of four to reflect on everything that we have. And are we creating something that has that sustainable energy? Is it something that have we created something that we can be proud of, that we can move forward with? Or is it something where we've become stuck in an old pattern or in an old way of being and we're about to break? Right. So we have the two choices here. We want the solid foundation, but we don't want our foundation to be so stuck and so rigid that we can't build on it or we can't change it in any way. So now today is definitely not the day to enact change. So based on what we're looking at here with four energy, it's not the energy of making the change, but it's the energy of recognizing where it is change could be enacted. Tomorrow is a 5-day, five energies about change and movement and freedom and, you know, moving energy. Today's energy is much more about evaluating where are we not firm in our foundation? Where are we not, where have we missed out on creating something solid or stable? And then tomorrow and the next day even, we can enact the change that's necessary to make something more sturdy and longer lasting. Now, healing energy in a lot of the lore of different cultures, the shaman, the priest was always a shapeshifter. Right? They could always become something more. They would become what it was that the person needing healing needed. And so today we are moving between the spiritual and the physical realm, sort of shape shifting as we go. And or the possibility for ourselves is to be able to do that. Shape shifting literally means we can become something more. We can become something different. And unfortunately for us, though, shape shifting is also in order to shapeshift, in order to move, in order to morph, that's another good word here for shapeshifting. We have to detach from our old dysfunctional beliefs and our old dysfunctional ways of being. And it's interesting because I had a conversation with my son last night, who's very different in his way of looking at the world than I am. And it's so fascinating to me because he's very left-brained and very, very methodical in his thinking. And we were having this discussion about what was going on in the world with Iraq and Iran. And he said something and I went, it's that thinking that causes us to get stuck. And we had a really great conversation about the whole idea of creating from a different level, shape-shifting. We can't keep answering bombs with bombs or terror with terror, anger with anger, because what happens is it just keeps blowing up and getting bigger, right? Have you ever been in a fight with someone? And they irritate you. You answer with more irritation. They answer back. And before you know it, you are in a rip-roaring argument or fight with someone that you really love. And then it makes it difficult to go back, to that peaceful, loving energy again. So you can't keep meeting anger and hate with more anger and hate. It just makes it bigger. And where does that end? In an atomic bomb that destroys the earth, we have to have cooler heads prevailing. So let's create a peace wave, right? If you add peace to anger, you're diluting the anger. And if you add more love to that peace and to that anger, you're diluting the anger even more. So we have to change, we have to shift, we have to shape shift in order to heal some of this dysfunction that's going on, both in our outer worlds, but it begins by us shape shifting and changing and morphing within, right? Healing, bringing it all in, healing our own dysfunction, and then we can see in the outer world how that changes. So we have to first harmonize our own imbalances, and then we can work on others. Any healer will tell you that, right? Before most good healers, before they go in to work with a client, they're going to be doing what they need to do to clear their own energy field. Otherwise, they're bringing their own stuff into the healing situation. And then does healing really happen, right? That's why we harmonize our own personal imbalances. We become the change that we want to see in the world in order to shape shift the world. Practice then balance, acceptance, compassion, love, be a way shower, right? Be a way shower to the higher realms of being. That's your job. That's why you came here. You came here to be a way shower, to be the light to the world. Be that light. And you be that light by shifting your own stuff first and becoming all that you hoped you could be in that outer world. All right, let's see what other comments. Judy, using your tools to make it happen, absolutely on the what? Yep. Marissa, but sometimes you get in your own way. I never get in my own way. I think all of us are the ones that are always in our own way. It's no one else really in our own way. We just perceive that that person stands in our way or that situation stands in our way, but it's really us standing in our own way. Absolutely. She says, I have declared, but then self-doubt sets in and picks it apart with how, when, is that what you really want, and on. I guess my head activates in her human design. I can't remember if you have a defined head or ajna, but when you do have a defined head and ajna, and those are the top two centers in your human design, if those are defined, it is more difficult, I think, for those people to let go of the old way of thinking because you've gotten into a thinking rut. Or a groove of thinking in a specific sort of way. So what you really have to do is sort of withdraw from that kind of thinking and stepping back, right? Becoming more objective and then looking in and going, I need to change the way that I'm thinking. And sometimes with an open head or open ajna or both, well, if you can get into a situation there where you're really picking up the beliefs and the thoughts that other people are thinking. And remember yesterday when we talked about it being a pressure center, and then you become pressured to try to answer those questions, and they're not even your questions, but you're afraid your husband or your friend or your coworkers are going to ask you those questions and you're going to have an answer. So you're already trying to prepare with an answer to those questions. Should someone say, how are you going to do that? Or can you prove that that's, you know, true? And then you get it again, you get caught back up into that old stinking thinking or that old way of being. Sometimes you just have to have the courage to let those things go and to be different, to set out to be different. And Judy, choose a different route and towards healing. Yeah, exactly. Today I need rest. And you know, that's another really good point, Judy, is that sometimes we don't listen to what our bodies are telling us. Our mind tells us, well, you have a client at 10, you have a client at 11, you have got a this at noon, you know, and going on and on and on, rather than allowing some, you know, relaxation, even in the small spaces, right? Even in the minute or two before you go on with a client, or you go to your next appointment, or you do your next chore, you have space to breathe and to relax and to listen to your body's wisdom. Is it telling you it's hungry? It doesn't need some movement. Does it need to go to the bathroom? How many times in the day are you refraining from going to the bathroom because you're so busy and caught up, right? We have to be better at listening to what's going on in our bodies. I totally agree. Amala, good morning. She says, question, how long is the duration period, the effects of Uranus conjunct Pluto on January 12th? And what does that generally mean for humanity? Well, Amla, that's a really good question, because people do tend to look at days on a calendar and go, well, that's the day. And in fact, even as astrologers, we've been looking at January 12th for a long time, because we know that's the day that Pluto and Saturn were going to come into a conjunction. Mercury was going to be in the mix and the Sun was going to be in the mix. But realistically, we have something called applying orbs, right? When a planet begins to move forward toward another one, it's already creating the effect. You have a very slow moving planet in Pluto, and Saturn being a further planet is also a slower transit. So these two have really been in this dance with one another for about the last year or so. So it's not like tomorrow, the next day, or January 12th, which I think is Sunday, is new. It's not, right? We're already in it. And once these planets conjunct, then Saturn moves forward, and by the end of March is in Aquarius, a completely different sign. And so we see that maybe we're at the apex of some of the more negative expression of the Saturn-Pluto destruction, division, polarization, transformation, authoritarianism, old way of thinking and being, the patriarchy. We've reached that apex, and now we are on the home, the downhill slide, perhaps you could say, or we've rounded third base and we're headed home, because now we have this opportunity to change the energy, to really move through this. And we've been talking about it for a long time. And once Saturn moves into Aquarius, we have a couple of months where we can look at the bigger picture of humanity and being more altruistic and looking at the high side of what's possible. If we let go of all this old world bullshit that we've been living in, what more is possible for us? Then, of course, Saturn is going to retrograde and move back over into Capricorn. By the summer, we're back into Capricorn energy with Saturn, closing in on it, another conjunction, this time with Jupiter and Pluto, and Mars squaring this energy. So we have it going on for literally more. And like, you know, that like an animal is most dangerous when it's the most wounded, right? So it's kind of that energy that we experience between August, September, and the end of 2020, where it's the most dangerous time because we're coming to the end. It's always the darkest before the dawn. And it's, you know, an animal's most dangerous when it's cornered. And that's sort of what we're looking at as we move further into 2020. Then as we get to the end, of 2020 on the winter solstice. Then we have Jupiter and Saturn that conjunct for the first time in, I don't know how many hundreds of years, in Aquarius at 0 degrees Aquarius. Again, we'll still have problems in the world, but we'll be grappling with a different set of problems, a different way of being, and maybe rebuilding. We're into the rebuilding now and not so much the destruction. So to really answer your question, Amla, it isn't something that's just happening on those days. It's a process. And we've been in this process already, and we're still in this process. But I think we've reached the apex point. It's downhill from here, with the exception of, you know, that last gasp before it finally gives way or yields to the potential of what's new. But a lot of that has to do with how we individually deal with all of the things that happen between now and then. Because the one thing that I really saw, and I'm not the only one, a lot of other astrologers and you know, people that follow spirituality have known, is that it becomes our responsibility as individuals that we find the power within us to group together and to make movement in community or grassroots movement that really demands change on the planet. No more expecting that it'll be coming down to us from government or the Congress or anything like that, or any institution. From then on, it becomes more the movement from the ground up. And that takes us into the new age of Aquarius as we move. I really believe the age of Aquarius becomes very much at the new cadence as we get to the very end of this year. So that was a very long answer to your question, but I hope I actually answered the question. Judy says, that's what I call learned behavior that you have to be aware of. Definitely. And Alma says, that makes complete sense. Thank you for clarifying. Good, 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 good. So breathe. I feel like I've been on a run today. So now, as we're getting to the end, I don't want to miss out on our reading of the Wisdom Keeper's intuitive guidebook here, or inner guidebook. This is based on the 64 Faces of Awakening written by Rosie Aronson. And it is actually a card deck. It is an oracle deck. You can use these as an oracle. I like to use them as stories, but sometimes I do just pull a card. And the one that we're going to work with today is the card 53. I'm not sure if you could see that. 53 is what it says down there, an expansion. Look at her beautiful face. She looks familiar to me, like we've talked about her before, but as I read the story, I didn't really recognize the story. So maybe it's just something that I've maybe read on my own. I don't know. So let's see what this says. And again, we're reading this one because the earth is sitting at this gate, and it's the earth that triggers the evolution, how we're going to move through to the gate of 54, which in its highest is ascension, and in its gift is aspiration, right? So we want to be able to move there. And moving there means we have to get out of the shadow of immaturity. And let's read about this. And this is also based on Richard Rudd's work with the gene keys. And he says here, true growth expands beyond its comfort zone. It is continually transcending its last level. So here's the wisdom story. There was always balance and simplicity amongst my people. Nature provided us with what we needed, and we never took more. We each had our roles and contributed to the community. All of us prospered. During the time of modernization, my family moved into an Arctic town to participate in contemporary life. My husband struggled to learn the language and ways of the new culture. He couldn't find work. I had a flair for language and took advantage of available educational programs. Soon, I found a job in a weaving shop and became the primary wage earner for our family. My husband fell into a deep depression. Alcohol made him solemn, controlling, and abusive. He forbade me from trying new things and accused me of stealing his rightful place as head of the family. I felt frightened and trapped in my marriage. Driven to break free, I ran towards change. At first, I was fickle, hopping from opportunity to opportunity and often dropping the ball. But then I used my head, combining my traditional weaving skills and new training to launch my own clothing business. As I studied the modern world, my marketing improved and business grew. Soon I was able to leave my husband. Determined to remain independent, I read books about the fascination wealthy moderners had for my people, our spiritual traditions, and belief in reincarnation. I created a line of high-end sacred cloaks for affluent seekers. Blessed by Inuit shamans, they were to be used in meditation and during burials to enhance the soul's chance for a favorable incarnation. The cloaks hit a chord in the market. My ambitions grew with the size of my bank account, stress levels, and the complexity of my life. I expanded the line and started to mass produce using artificial materials and refusing to see how I was misusing sacred traditions and taking advantage of modern people's fear of death and longing for spirit. It wasn't until I visited one of our factories in China that I discovered how poorly our workers were treated and how much garbage our factory produced. I was horrified to see how unfathomably far I'd drifted from my roots. I'd become a lonely, greedy, and immature person. So I sold my business and donated my money and time to support disenfranchised Indigenous peoples, integrate authentic wisdom into the world where spirit was sorely missing, and to restore the health of our home, the earth. My work is still expanding, but my life is simple and balanced. Finally, I know what true prosperity is. My gift to you, I bring the gift of expansion. There is something in your life that you've outgrown. It's time to move beyond your comfort zone. If you've been holding tightly to an opinion, identity, vision, or worldview, it's time to let go. If you've been trying to reject a part of your past or your life, assuming it has no gift for you, it is time to embrace it. Surrender your intellect and watch everything become more simple and efficient. The mind has trouble understanding how everything is always passing away and beginning again. But the truth is that synthesis is happening all of the time. You are forever becoming whole. In the end, all that matters is expansion through the heart. Questions for contemplation. Do you sometimes feel overcome with sadness? Are you walling yourself off from the world and new experiences? Do you often begin things and never complete them? Have you outgrown a part of your life? Are you afraid to let go? Are you growing too fast at the expense of your life balance? And if you weren't afraid to expand, what might you expand into? I love that story. I love that. So here's the card. The gift is expansion. The highest expression is superabundance. I love that word, superabundance. And what does that mean? And the shadow is immaturity, right? Moving upward and onward. Okay, any questions? April, this story is touching my heart. I know, I love those stories. I really do. She did such a great job of bringing the stories together and weaving, you know, the terms in and out. And of course, everything always seems to be coherent. And that's why I love the work that I do, because there's this coherence between the gene keys and human design, the astrology, the Pleiadian earth energy. It's giving us all the same message over and over that we are the masters and the mistresses of our own destiny. And the moment we choose something and that we keep our heart aimed in that direction, we get there. Right? We get there. And then we change when we find perhaps that what we've created isn't what we really intended. So it's a process, and it takes us, you know, into the low wave of emotions and to the high wave of emotions, etc. But it's all part and parcel of our life here. Diana, good morning. Happy birthday to you. I saw yesterday that it was your birthday, so we want to be able to celebrate you and sending you many blessings for a new year, your personal new year filled with love, prosperity, and joy. All right, guys, that is it for me today. Hopefully, you guys have a wonderful day. You can get some spiritual time in, some psychic time, some intuitive time, shape shift your life. I'll see you all tomorrow. Take care.